In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, when our Lord Jesus was near the end of his ministry, and he was thinking of Calvary, the cross that was ahead of him, and beyond that, he was thinking of his rising from the dead, ascending to heaven, and one day, and a day not known to us, but one day, he knew that he would return in glory. And in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus talks to his disciples about his return in glory. His mind has run forward to that, the end of history. And he describes how all the peoples of the world will be gathered before him. They will all be there. And he says that to some, this is what will be said. Listen, to some, he will say, or the king will say to those on his right hand, to some he will say, listen, come, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think of those words. Come. This will be said to many people. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to others, there will be different words spoken. Listen to these words. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me read those words to you again. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Matthew chapter 25, and you'll find those words in verse 31, 34, and verse 41. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And I begin this morning by saying that because you can see that on that day, on that last day, some will be blessed and some will be cursed. Some will be told, come, welcome. Some will be told, depart from me. And I want to suggest to you this morning, I want to say to you this morning, that I don't think that there is anything more important than that. Do you think that there's anything more important for you and for me than to know what we will hear from the Lord at the end of history? I say that nothing else, compared with that, nothing else matters. Now, with that in your mind, I hope you've looked forward just for a moment with me this morning and said, one day we will be there, one day we'll be there, we'll all be there. And we will hear both of those things said, blessing to one and curse to another. Now, long before our Lord Jesus came in the flesh, long before he came, the Son of God came to this world, the Lord commanded that his people be blessed. And that's why I've turned this morning to Numbers chapter 6 and verses 22 to 27. In these verses we have the Lord's command that his people will be blessed. And I want to read it to you again. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, Aaron is the high priest, saying, this is the way that you will bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And you'll notice he says, so, and they shall set my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, in these words, first of all this morning, in these words, The Lord is speaking to his adopted son. I'm choosing my words very carefully. In this great declaration, the Lord is speaking to his adopted son or his adopted people. If you look at verse 27, can you see what he says? He says, they shall set my name, or put, as it's translated there, put my name upon the children of Israel. The Lord is, when his blessing is pronounced, he said, he is putting his name on the sons of Israel. And if you look at the words that are spoken by the priest, you'll notice that the word the Lord is there in capital letters three times. The Lord is the one who's blessing. The Lord is the one who's giving you peace. Three times. The name of the Lord. Now that word there in capitals, the Lord, that is the name that was revealed particularly to Moses at the bush, where the Lord said, he says, what shall I say to the children of Israel? He says, say, I am that I am. That's what the word Lord means. It means the one who is the I am that I am. He is the one who is putting his name on his people. Oh Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he used that name of himself. He says, before Abraham was, I am. So this is clear that the Lord's own special name is being put upon his people. Now when the name of the Lord is put upon his people, he is declaring to them, you are mine. You are mine. I have put my name upon you. Now, I want you to notice, well, you won't see it in the English, but you will see it in the original. I want you to notice that when it says the Lord bless you and keep you, the word is singular. So, can you imagine the entire people of Israel, so to speak, gathered before Aaron, and they hear this statement, the Lord bless you in the singular, and keep you in the singular. And we have to ask, now, why is it in the singular? There were many of them. Why not you in the plural? Why not you all? But no, it's the Lord bless you. And I want to suggest to you, I'll come back to this in a little moment. I want to suggest to you that in one sense, this blessing applies to each of the children of God in particular. This is very personal. It's as if God comes to each one of us and says, my desire, my delight is to bless you, my son, my child, by adoption. But there's another dimension to this, because it's regarding the people of God as one. It's not you as a multitude of individuals, but you as a body. The Lord spoke about Israel to Pharaoh. His message to Pharaoh was this: let my son go. When? Let my son go, that he may serve me. And here the Lord is speaking to his people as one unit, one body. You are one people. And it's interesting, in the service, the prayer meeting before the service, Richard prayed and he made reference to Psalm 133 and another psalm. But in Psalm 133, it's especially about the people of God gathered together as one. And the psalmist is thinking of this. He says, and there the Lord commands the blessing. Okay. So I just leave this with you, because we're going to come back to it in a moment. But the Lord intends to bless his people as a single body. Sometimes they're referred to as the bride of Christ. One bride, one body, one church. He intends to bless his church. But he also intends that blessing will rest upon the head of every single adopted child of his. So you can take it in those two dimensions, and there's more. You and you. The Lord bless you. He is putting his name upon his people. Now let me just say before I move on that he does not say this to the world. These words are not said to the world. These words are only said to his people. This blessing was not given to the Egyptians. It wasn't sent out to the Philistines. It was particularly for the seed of Abraham, Israel, my people, my son. I will bless, as if God the Father is saying, I will put my name on my people, my son. Somewhere it says that he passed over, at that time, he passed over the nations and he settled his love upon his people. Now, this is not given to the world. This is given to the people that the Lord has taken out of the world to himself. Let me say as well, these words will not be said to those who hate the church. If you later read Psalm 129, the psalmist says this. He says, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. Many a time I've been afflicted. He says, let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. It's a terrible thing for any person, and certainly any ruler, to put his hand out and touch the people of God. These are the people who are the apple of his eye. This is his adopted son. Touch not my prophets. Do my anointed no harm. However you translate that. And this is saying, the psalmist says, this blessing will never come upon those who hate the church, who hate the people of God. Earlier on in another psalm, he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He's talking to the church. Pray for the people of God and their peace. The Lord will bless you in that prayer. And so I say to you that this is a very, very specific thing that is said to the people of God. And you think about this God saying to his people, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. I tell you, already you should be saying, I can't put a value on this. How do you put a value on that? How can you estimate how great and how important this is? It is a vital thing to be a part of the people of God, to be one of his adopted children, to know that he looks at you and says, my child, the one that I'm going to bless. It's important now, today, and it's important on the last day when we gather before the Son of God. This is important. So firstly, then he speaks to his people. And then secondly, I would like you to dwell on the words that are spoken with me. There are three parts, or three sentences, so to speak, and six words. Six important words in this. If you have your Bibles open, we'll just go through them. The first one is this: the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Now that is the act of a father. Okay? A father in this world, a father would bless his sons or his son. And God is saying to us, I am your father and I'm going to treat you as my sons. And in the Bible it says that the Christian calls God Abba, Father. When we have the Holy Spirit given to us, we turn our eyes upwards and we call God our Father. And when the Lord says, I will bless you, he's saying, I will act as your Father, your Heavenly Father. It's as if he's saying, I'm going to put my hand upon your head and bless you. I'm going to put my hand upon your head and tell you, you are mine. And listen, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. You know, in the prophets, bear with me while I find these references, which I've got them here. The prophet Isaiah, he says, I will call you in different places. I won't give you the references. You can have them if you want them. I will call you by your name. You are mine. Okay. He says again, he says, this one will say, I am the Lord's. And this one will call himself by the name of Jacob. And this one will write upon his hand, the Lord's. And so on. The prophets spoke about this. I'll spare you other references, but if you go through the prophets time and time again, Zechariah, Isaiah, they speak about the children of God saying, as it were, to themselves and to the world, I am his, I've written his name upon my hand. I belong to him. This is like Thomas, when Thomas eventually, as it were, confessed Christ risen from the dead. What did he say to him? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. When God says, I will bless you, he is speaking about a relationship between him and his children. When he says, I will bless you, he is really saying to you, I love you, and my love will be a practical, a personal, an everlasting and a strong love. This is nothing mechanical. As it were, God is pouring out his pleasure and his favor upon you. And then the line goes on, the Lord bless you and keep you, and keep you. And what he's saying there is that the Lord will protect you. He will protect you from all harm. He will guard you. It says in Psalm 121, that's the other psalm that Richard quoted this morning. He will not let your foot slip. He will protect you by day and by night. He will protect your going out and your coming in. What? From this time forth and forevermore. The Lord is saying to you, if you are my child, I will never let you go. The Lord Jesus said this in his ministry, John chapter 10. He says, no one can snatch my sheep out of my hand. Once a man or woman or boy or girl, once they are claimed by God, no one can take them away from him. He will not let you go. And so he says, I will bless you and keep you. This is not going to end. You're not going to be taken away from me. And then thirdly, he says that he will cause his face to shed light upon them. Now you might say, well, what does this mean? To cause his face to shine or to shed light upon me or upon us. And really, it's a kind of metaphor. I can only go this far with it this morning. You could say it means to look at you with delight. And for you to, as it were, to receive that delight. It's as the rays of light hit the ground from the sun. So, as it were, the light of God's countenance or face will, as it were, reach you. It will reach you. You will know that he delights in you. He says in one of the prophets, he says, call the name of my people, Hephzibah. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. My delight is in her. The Lord is saying, I will delight to know you and to love you and to be with you and care for you, and you will delight in me. I think before I go on from this light of his face, it's worth remembering that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says that the light of God shines forth in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not an exact quote. You can look it up. That God's, the shining of his face, as it were, is known to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the word of Christ is preached in many hearts, the light of God shines forth into their hearts. And then the fourth thing, and I will be gracious to you. To be gracious simply means that the Lord will set his favor upon you, and it will not be a deserved favor. It's not something that you can claim. It's only something that he can give you freely. I will favor you. And then, fifthly, he says that he will lift up his face upon you. He will lift up his face upon you. Well, you might say, well, is there a difference between his face shining upon me and lifting up his countenance or his face upon me? Well, what it means is he will take notice of you. Is it where he will look at you? And he will not turn his eye away from you. He will not forget you. Now, this means, for example, that when a child of his prays to him, cries to him, the Lord hears his prayer. He makes himself known as the hearer of prayer. You know, you as a child of God, as a Christian, you can pray and expect God's answer, especially if you pray, obviously, if you pray in his will. But he has given us this access. Come and cry to me, my children. Bring your petitions. Many people in this room will testify that they have had answers to prayer, clear answers to prayer. And this is part of a child of God's experience. I tell you, when it says there that he will lift up his countenance upon you, when you think about that, will you please remember that he turned his gaze away from his son on the cross? Right? On the cross, the Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? It's as if he's saying, why have you stopped looking at me? Why have you stopped lifting up your countenance upon me? And there's a reason why that happened. It's because he was bearing our sins, and it was so that the face of God would never be turned away from us, who were found in Christ, washed in his blood. And then the last term we have is, and give you peace. Give you peace. He will, as it were, appoint for you peace. Many of you will know that the word in Hebrew is shalom, shalom. And if you go to Israel today, that's the way they say hello. Doesn't mean much. Shalom, shalom, shalom. The word here is not just hello. Do you remember the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I leave my peace with you. I give you my peace. Same thing. Not as the world gives, do I give. This is not a light hello. But what does it mean when he will appoint for you peace? This word means that it talks about completeness. Nothing will be lacking. You know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. This is what the peace of God is, that you will be complete. Is it Job who says that he goes back to his house and he finds all is well? Nothing is missing. He's been away, but he comes back and all is well. That is what he's saying to you. All will be well with you. Nothing lacking, nothing amiss. So these words, and I have very, really inadequately talked about them this morning, but you can see that they build into one combined picture of the love of God displayed and set upon his children. Now let me close by making one or two observations and then I will stop. I've said to you, notice that these things are spoken in the singular to the sons of Israel. Notice that when the Lord intends to bless you, his blessing, as it were, is set upon you as you are united with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Any individualistic approach is inadequate to this. There are many places where the Lord comes to his people and says, repair your relationships. Strive for unity. If you come to worship me or bring an offering and you remember that you have something against your brother or he has something about you, don't come and offer your offering. Go and sort it out, then come and worship. The unity of the people of God is very precious to him, where brothers dwell together in unity. Now, that's the first thing. We must see ourselves as part of a body under the Lord. My son, let my son go. And then secondly, I want you to notice, and this is not in our text, but when Aaron would pronounce these words, okay, or on the first occasion when Moses pronounced them too, and on other occasions, there was a particular moment in the worship of God's people when the blessing would be pronounced. We hear these words every week at the end of our service. We're used to them at the end of the service. In Israel, they were spoken at the end of the sacrifices. All right? So this was the order, whatever else was done. First of all, the sacrifices for sin were made. The blood was sprinkled, the blood was shed. Then the blessing was pronounced. It couldn't be the other way round. And the New Testament makes it clear that exactly the same thing applies now. Okay? First, Christ must die. Then the people of God will be blessed. And I'll leave it with this morning. There cannot be blessing for you unless you have come to Christ, repented of your sins, believed in him for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible speaks about us being washed in his blood. Unless we have come to the crucified Savior, we cannot come to a blessing Father. Okay, Paul, we sang words from Ephesians chapter 1 just now. He says, blessed be the God and Father, what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, what with? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? In Christ. And if you read Ephesians 1, he keeps repeating, it's all in Christ. In him we have redemption from our sins, the shedding of his blood, forgiveness of sins. In him, it's all in him. In him we have an inheritance. Look, we have nothing outside of Christ. Christ had to die, rise again, ascend to heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon his children. And without the Holy Spirit, without that particular, as it were, blessing, without him, we are dead. Unless you receive the Spirit of God from God the Father through the Son, unless the Spirit is in your heart, unless you are born again, you are spiritually dead. These things, you see, all these things are blood bought. A great price was paid for our blessings. So you can say, God the Father has a wonderful, loving purpose for his children. We will spend eternity, as it were, coming to terms with the bounty of his blessing, the joy of his presence, what it is to hear those words, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, what? From the foundation of the world. It's always been in his heart. It's always been there. You think of that from the, as it were, from the ages of eternity, God has had the names of his children in his heart and his purpose to bless them. And that's why the death of Christ, as it were, was counseled forth and ordained and agreed in eternity. When he said, let there be light, when he called the world into existence, he called it into existence as the place where he would come and redeem his people. The whole of history, as it were, centers on the redeeming work of Christ. And if you're a Christian, the whole of your life and all your hopes center on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says somewhere, he says, we preach Christ crucified. That's what we preach. Christ crucified, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, may God grant us to, as it were, to understand God's purposes and to see how they become ours. These are wonderful things, to be blessed and kept, to be delighted in and favoured, to be listened to and noticed and given peace. These are great things. And they are held out to us, for they are held out in Christ. If the blessing matters to you, then turn to the one through whom the blessing has been bought for you. Turn to Christ. If you want to make the blessing yours on the last day, make Christ yours today. Only in Christ. Make him yours today. Amen.